All right, we are recording. What's up, everybody? Drew here, thatanxietyguy.com. Back as always with Billy from Anxiety United.
That is I.
What's up, Bill?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm drinking my coffee. I'm drinking coffee, and I believe that this is a holiday cup.
I hope that's decaf.
It is decaf, as a matter of fact. It is decaf.
That's good.
Decaf, sugar-free, non-fat. Yes, but Starbucks has now got – these look like Christmas presents. So it's a day after – you know, it's 2 days after Halloween, so we have to start celebrating Christmas now in the U.S., of course.
Yeah, exactly.
So today we are going to talk a little bit more about – we're going to talk about our Facebook group and how everybody can start to participate more instead of just listening to us, like actually getting involved and maybe using the podcast as a way to start moving forward a little bit, right?
That's the plan.
So the first thing that we should probably tell everybody is it's certainly not required. You're welcome to watch and listen all you want without joining the group. But we do have a Facebook group that's associated with the podcast now, and we will link it both in the video descriptions. So the fast URL, bit.ly, right? bit.ly/anxiety101forum. I think something like, we could put it on the screen or something.
You can see it.
You can see it. We'll put it in the video description. We'll put it on the screen too or something. We'll figure that out. But I would say if you're interested in getting involved in discussion where it's not all about just listing symptoms and commiserating is fine now and then, but it's really more about sharing successes and failures and encouraging each other and rooting each other on and propping each other up, then come on in. We would love to have you.
Moving forward,
we had our first, I'm going to give a special shout out to my friend Callie in Massachusetts.
Yes.
Callie posted video yesterday. She found her spark from episode 18, last episode, and she decided to go out and take a walk that has been a challenging walk for her. And she posted a bunch of videos in the group and everybody got to watch it. And Callie, thank you for sharing that. And that was rock star shit right there.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was great. That made me smile watching that. Yep, absolutely. So I would encourage everybody, if you can, get involved if you want that encouragement. It's a good group of people. It's only going to get better. So,
and it causes like a chain reaction. So
it does.
Callie found her spark from our video, and then I've watched that, and it's made me feel something. And then,
sure.
You know, that's how it works. Chain reaction.
And that's the good part about it. So join the group just to follow along. You don't have to participate if you don't want to. But anyway, everybody's welcome. It's free. It's just a Facebook thing. So hop on in. That's where everybody is. I'm not a Facebook fan, but that's where everybody is. So it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So I'd say join the group for sure. And we wanted to talk about maybe setting goals for this month. Where it is November 2nd, 2017 when we're recording this. So
November.
Movember. I have to start like letting the facial hair go again. I shaved.
Mine will still look the same at the end of November.
Ouch. So if you're watching this in real time, this will be published on November, 7th? Yeah. So 2017. If you're watching in real time, we were talking about is maybe how can people maybe set a goal for this month. But even if you're not watching in real time, if you're watching this in the future, set yourself a goal for the next 30 days.
Yep.
So what did you do? I mean, you were talking about making a list that you've done in the past.
Yeah. I mean, originally I made a list. So I started with something that didn't really seem that scary, but I knew that it was just like leaving the house was enough. So I just set myself sort of a milestone to head towards, about a 5-minute walk. I think that was all it was.
Okay.
And then option number two, my mind went completely blank then. Option number two,
it happens,
was to just walk a bit further to the local shop. And then three was like drive somewhere, get out, walk somewhere else. And I think the fifth thing was like to go to the big supermarket in the next town and just walk around that. So like when I first made the list, number five was out there. I'd never actually anticipated that I'd be able to do it.
Right.
But by the time I'd worked through the stuff, I did end up doing it. So it worked for me, and hopefully it'll work for others. But it was just, I think the key was starting not too big. It was something that weren't too easy either. It was something that did actually cause anxiety. So
okay,
I think that was important.
All right. So I would say, you know, if you're watching, you want to kind of work along this month with us, make yourself a list or a list of things that you want to be able to accomplish this month, whether you're in November 2017 with us or the next 30 days, whenever it is you're watching this or listening. Pick one thing, two things, three things that have been a challenge. And
yeah, that's it. Because everybody's going to be at different stages.
Yes.
And we mentioned that in the group because somebody asked, what will the task be? And it's going to be difficult to find something that nobody can do or everybody struggles with because everybody's so different.
Right.
So I think it's going to be more of an independent choice, but definitely share your findings because that's the key part to helping others move forward. It's about getting that motivation and inspiration, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think you can't underestimate that. I know for me, when I was really struggling, reaching out to help other people was really therapeutic for me. Mm. I mean, it helped me. Helping other people really helped me a lot. So don't underestimate. Sharing in a group like that where it's a supportive group of people could really go a long way, because when you're providing assistance to somebody else, you wind up getting a lot of it back, not even directly from other people. It's just the act of doing it sometimes helps.
I would 100%.
So what I would say is, when you're making your list for the next 30 days, even if you just put one thing on it, doesn't matter. My advice on this is pick something realistic. So if you've been housebound for the last year and really haven't gone further than the end of your driveway alone, you know, don't decide that by the end of the month you're going to be, you know, on a cruise around the world. That's not realistic. So pick something small, you know, even something like a daily task. Well, sure, it'd be great if I could go pick up my mail or something like that. You know, pick a small thing and put it on the list and work, you know, decide that you're going to work on that this month. So,
you know that that's all I'm thinking about right now.
What's the task going to be?
Blazed over. I'm not you. Hello?
Hello? Is this thing on?
What am I going to do?
Is this thing on? Well, I mean, that's okay. I think a lot of people will be thinking that. So let me ask you a silly question. Are you feeling any sort of like anticipatory anxiety about having to do this?
It's weird. Like the other day I went to the local garage, which is something that would normally cause me anxiety.
Right.
And I put fuel in the car, went in the garage, like walked around, bought a sandwich, bottle of drink and stuff. And then came out, took my lad to college, which is like 10, 15 mile away. Yeah. And then got home, and then I started thinking about this. Okay. I knew that we were going to do something. And then I thought to myself, wait, the stuff that I've just done is pretty much worse than what I would think of doing for task number one.
Right.
So it's ridiculous. When you put it in the context of this is me challenging myself, it becomes a whole different ballgame to me just going out the door, doing what needs to be done and not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it's really odd. So I don't know. I feel like I need to do something that's pretty big, but then the thought of it terrifies me.
Well,
but if my missus said, can you nip me here or walk around here with me or whatever, I'd probably do it.
Yeah.
If I weren't thinking about it.
And you probably wouldn't give it that much thought. There might be some anxiety involved, but you would just do it anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
That's funny. But if you're planning it, and there was a question not too long ago, I think it might have been a YouTube or Facebook question, planned versus unplanned exposure.
Yeah, exactly.
We talked about that a little bit. Sometimes unplanned stuff is easier because you don't have time to worry about it ahead of time.
But so I also took my missus shopping. I think it was Tuesday. And usually when I take her to the supermarket, I'm sitting in the car park feeling really edgy and just iffy. But this time I was out of the car. I was walking around the car park, probably looking like a madman. But just like I just felt so much more at ease. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether, like, the caffeine thing seems ridiculous, and I know I keep banging on about it.
It's not.
But I have genuinely felt so different for the last few weeks since not drinking caffeine. I don't know.
Wow.
Like, I'm not getting the bloated stomach that I usually get, like the weird nausea feelings. I'm not getting any of that. I'm not sleeping great at the moment, but I'm not feeling tired during the day, which is weird. I'm waking up earlier in the mornings.
Yeah.
I'm eating less. I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
Caffeine is poison.
Well, evidently it's made a big difference for you. So don't underestimate it. Whatever it is, it's working.
Exactly. That's the thing. And like when I went to the garage the other day, I just felt complete calm. Even when I was at the checkout, usually when I go to the till to pay for fuel or whatever, there's a cash point outside. So I'll get the cash out.
Right.
So when I go to the till, I can just chuck the cash and run.
Okay.
But this time I didn't even think of it. I just went in, card in, because obviously when you pay by card, you have to put it in, wait, enter your PIN. There's a lot of hanging around. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Just did it. Really? Yeah, odd. I didn't start thinking about it until after I'd done it.
And those are the best things, you know, when you're not thinking about it and you realize afterwards, like, oh, look what I just did. So we should probably address that. So everybody's going to make, or whoever wants to play along here, you know, make a list, put a couple of things, realistic things on it that you want to tackle in the next 30 days. But this is a good discussion the last couple of minutes here. When you make that list, you may actually start to feel anxiety just thinking about what you have to do now. But that's, that's okay. First of all, it's completely normal. It's called anticipatory anxiety. And mm-hmm. and second of all, you should feel that. Like, I'm going to keep reminding people as we go through these little exercises that the goal is not to not be anxious. Like, you're going to be anxious. And part of, so the exposure really and the work starts right now. So when you start to make your lists and you start to get anxious about, oh my goodness, I'm going to go wherever to the school and pick up my daughter, and you start to get anxious about that, you're doing the work right there. You're already doing the work when you make your list. So it's okay. Expect to feel nervous about what's coming up. Expect to dread it a little bit. Expect to be afraid of it. You're supposed to feel that way. Exactly. That's part of the disorder right now that you're going to try and overcome. So it's okay. You're already working hard, dude.
What am I going to do?
You're sitting there working hard already, just thinking about what you're going to do.
All I can think of is freaking bowling. That's the problem.
Oh. I know at least one person that's going to laugh when you say that. Yes. So I guess the nuts and bolts of this, what we'll do is, you know, post your list in the group if you want to, or just keep it private. It doesn't matter. And I'm sure people will chime in and discuss it with you and offer suggestions and cheerleading and that sort of stuff. And then as you go about working on it, if, you know, whether you just want to report back and tell us what happened, or you want to take video and post it like Callie did yesterday, you know, there's no rules. It's just however way you feel like sharing and participating. Is good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I think we're up to like 70 something people right now in the group, and it's all good people. So yeah, I think it's going to be solid. So that being said, should we take people through like an exposure?
Let's do it.
Go back into the memory banks. I'll think about maybe one of my old ones, and we could go kind of through one of your old ones. And
yeah.
What did it actually feel like? So yeah, it didn't feel good, right?
I'm still thinking about what I'm going to do. That's the problem.
That's all right. All right, so I'll get the ball rolling.
Go on, you go.
So let's talk. Let's go through the nuts and bolts of what an exposure actually felt like to me. So those of you who have been following along know that for me, I had an issue getting in the car and driving around, right? It was difficult to leave the house alone. It was really difficult to be in the car. And that was because I would have panic in the car, so I became afraid to be in the car. So what I would literally do is, first thing I had to do was decide that I was done feeling that way. And we talked about getting that spark, right, in the last episode. And so my plan was, I said, okay, here's what I have to do here is I have to get in the car and drive all the freaking time, as often as I possibly can. It doesn't matter where I'm driving, where, if I'm going anywhere or not. It's just a matter of building that back up. So as soon as I had an inkling that maybe I might have to get in the car, leave the house and drive somewhere, no matter how far or close it was, I would start to, you know, the anxiety levels would rise. Mm-hmm. So for me, I knew that I had to really break it down and say, okay, the object of the game here is, first thing I have to do is get dressed. Like, I have to put some clothing on to be able to go out of the house. You know, it sounds ridiculous to break it down to something that small, but it's true. And I would, you know, so I would do it in the morning. So I would get up and the first thing I'd have to work on is forcing myself to just put my feet on the floor and get out of bed. You know, now, for a variety of reasons. At the time, it was the dead of winter. We were having a very cold winter that year. So who the hell wants to get out of bed anyway? But I would literally have to force myself to get up and just go through slowly and deliberately the motions of taking something out of the closet, slowly getting dressed, brushing my teeth slowly and deliberately. And I really had to work on, before I could get in the car and drive away, I had to work on building a routine that I was comfortable with, that I did slowly and deliberately, and I would watch my breathing, and I wouldn't try and keep my mind clear, to get to the point where I was at the front door, dressed with my keys, ready to go. And there were times when, you know, I would then get out the door and I would be in a panic getting in the car, and I would barely make it through a few minutes. But that morning was more about working on getting to the point where I wasn't getting in the car at a level 8 panic already. Mm-hmm. So I didn't necessarily directly work on the skill of driving around. First, I worked on the skill of getting in the car without already being in a major panic.
Almost preparation.
The preparation. That's exactly right. Like, what am I thinking about right now? What, I got to clear my head of this thought. I have to let that thought go. And it was work to go through and come up with that routine. Get up, pick something out, get dressed, brush your teeth, comb your hair, whatever it was, throw on a hat, put on a coat, have, you know, a glass of water. And I would literally get to the point where I'd get to the front door ready to go out and think, all right, how am I feeling right now? Like, and as I did it every day, as often as I could, I would get to the point where it became less of a big deal. I didn't have as much anticipation. And so I would get in the car and get ready to drive. And as I would be leaving, that's when my anxiety level started to rise. So for me, it was about, I really had to break it down to the smallest possible chunk to get ready to do the task. And taking away, you know, the anticipation and the fear while I was getting ready to do the task helped a lot to start to actually tackle the task.
Do you think, like, you were having the anxiety, because a lot of it is, or the majority of it is sensations. Mm-hmm. So would you have had the sensations while you were getting ready initially, and then the sensations would just take longer to come in?
Is that it
become like when you get in the car, that's when they now start.
That's when they
start. And then when you get...
Exactly. So in a way, what I was almost doing was pushing it off. Like, instead of, it would be difficult to even consider the idea of walking out the door and getting in the car, because I would already be in that panic state in a way. It was very difficult to even open the door and walk out. Whereas when I got to the point where I could get dressed comfortably and know I was going out the door and not freak out knowing I was going out the door. Yes, it would get to the point where the rise in the thoughts and the physical sensations would happen once I got in the car.
It's weird because, like, we say that you shouldn't try and avoid the sensations and avoid the symptoms.
Right.
But what you find is, because people probably think, like, oh, I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to keep feeling that. But as you just said, the more that you do it, the sensations, it's not that you have to get used to them, it's that they don't actually come anymore when you become comfortable with doing whatever it is.
I mean, at first, yes, I did have to get used to them. I just had to slowly and deliberately let my heart race and not care about it. But after doing that, and I would say, we're not talking about months, you know, after the first few days of doing it, it would, the symptoms would begin to dissipate. Not because I had ways to make them go away, because I was just getting more comfortable with them and I wasn't giving them a lot of share of mind. You know,
I think that's probably something that people don't buy into, is the fact that, or maybe they... Or I know that I've thought, like, it, the more that you do it, you're just going to feel worse. You're going to keep doing it, and you're always going to feel, if you want to go out for dinner, you're always going to feel like this. But the reality is that the more that you do it, the less you'll feel like that. And I think that's what people struggle to buy into.
That's true.
Is knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
You've just got to actually go through this. You've got to make yourself feel worse before you feel better.
Yeah, and you have to, especially in some of my very early audio only podcasts, I tried to stress that a lot. Like, you're right. This is, you're not resigning yourself to a lifetime of feeling horribly every time you try and go to dinner. You'll feel horribly at first, then a little less horrible, a little less horrible, a little less horrible. And the key is to just learn to not care how you feel. I know we keep saying that, and it's a hard thing to verbalize what that really means, but for me, it got to the point where it's like, okay, I can get up. I would not be losing my shit the minute I got out of bed. I would lose my shit when I got in the car, but that's fine. Then I would literally get to the point where I said, okay, I'm not going to leave this house until I can at least be calm about the way I feel, if that makes any sense. So I would get to the front door those first couple of mornings, get to the front door, and I would be a mess, and I would have to tell myself, like, I'm not going to just power through this. I'm just going to stand here at the front door and let myself be a mess until I'm comfortable being a mess. And that's how that got better. And then once I was able to do that, you know, more quickly, when you get in the car without already having been through 10 minutes of terror, it became a whole lot easier to drive away and start to work on that now. So whatever it is, the task that you pick to start on, break it down into the smallest possible thing. If the biggest issue, you know, we'll use Callie because she posted yesterday. The biggest issue is walking to that traffic light like she did in her video. Then, I mean, she did great, but the goal isn't to get to the light. Work on just putting on your shoes without freaking out first. And standing at the front door, standing on the front step once you get out the door. Build it. Just build it.
I think one of the videos that resonates with me and that I'm thinking about right now is when I did a grocery store.
Right.
And this was probably about 3 years ago.
Okay.
It was World Book Day, and my daughter needed a fancy dress costume for the day after to go with a book that she was going to buy.
Okay.
And this was when I was in a good place. Like, I was able to do a lot of things, but it was the supermarket that was number 5 on my list from years ago.
Yeah, okay.
So it was that exact same place. And it was me, my dad, and my daughter, and we just decided one evening, or it was the evening, she needed the fancy dress costume for the next day. So I said, let's just go. I didn't really think too much about it because I was in a good place.
Sure.
But I knew that on the way there, I was thinking to myself that it's going to kickoff. I'm going to, because I already feel nervous about going here, because of memory, I guess.
Right.
And then when we got in there, like, it's a two-floor supermarket, Walmart. And we got in there, and I was looking around by the entrance for costumes for my daughter and, like, picking out just John Cena stuff. And she was like, I ain't wearing that. Wonder Woman and all this kind of crap.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was having none of it, and then she wanted to go upstairs. And then I spent, like, the next 5 minutes just walking around the lower aisles, not too far from the entrance, and just I could feel it. And I was like, nah, I ain't going up there.
Yeah.
And then just with that moment, whatever it was that we talked about last week, I just went for it, went upstairs and had a full-blown panic attack up there while we were looking at the books. And just I read it out, and it was crazy. And that's the one I've mentioned before when, like, after. But it's like the calm after that panic.
Yes.
It was like 10 minutes of the most intense. You feel like you're losing control. Everything. The vision starts going. The dizziness. The jelly legs.
Yeah.
The heart rate's pounding. You know that you're over-breathing. And it's just intense. But I made a decision to just stick it out. Stood there. Rid it out. And once it passed, that was when I was able to just go wherever I wanted in there.
Yeah.
Like, I've discussed it before, but that's the video. That's the, like, the exposure thing. The one time that I've caught on film where I was brave enough to just ride it out. And then you can see the benefit of doing it. So that's where I want to get to with doing these tasks, is I want to put myself in those positions.
Yeah.
And be brave enough to just hold, embrace.
Yeah, which I think is it. And you're just... You know, you're not necessarily fighting. You're not trying to push it away. Like, oh, here comes the panic.
Yeah, no.
Push it away. And I think your experience is probably pretty typical. So if you're going to push yourself to a place where you know you're going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
You almost have to expect that you might have a panic attack. You know, it's not might.
It's weird.
You probably will at some point in this process. It's going
to
happen.
Like, it was my idea to go there.
Yeah.
It was just like, because I was in a good place at the time and able to go for dinner and go to other shops and stuff. We just never went there because it was in a different town.
Right.
But it's 24 hour and this was getting on in the evening. So that was just, it was like my idea. Let's go there.
Let's do this.
Didn't even think twice about it until we got like within a mile of it. And then it's like, but then I didn't question whether to get out of the car. I just got out of the car and I just did it. I was resigned to the fact that I was going to go in there.
Yeah.
And maybe, yeah, I was hoping that there'd be a perfect fancy dress costume just in the doorway waiting for us.
Sure.
But typically there wasn't. We had to go in.
Yeah.
But it was good. I'm glad that we did because I've got that to look back on. And I look back on that now sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the one moment where I stood firm. I weren't tense. I just carried on doing what I was doing, looking at the books and just noticed that this was how I felt. There was nothing I could do. Because in that same supermarket, I've run out of there before. And like the journey from when you make that decision, I'm going to bail. When you make that decision, wherever you are in there, the journey from there to the door is probably the worst moment in my life. That's from what I can remember of my anxiety feelings and stuff. From when I've made a decision to exit to getting to the door, that is horrific.
The most harrowing.
And I just thought to myself in that moment, like, I can either do that, end up outside, and I know that it'll switch off as soon as I get out the door.
Yeah.
Because it always does. So I thought, why not just stand and just wait for it to switch off itself? And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and then once it did, you had full run of the store. You were
exactly.
Now you're invincible, you know.
Yeah, it was like I'd gone outside,
yeah.
But I was still inside. It was that same feeling.
Sure, sure. I know that I've actually heard. Lydia doesn't mind. I know Lydia's listening, but she's described to me in the past being in those situations, and she has exited, but in a controlled way. So another strategy is something that I know she has done, which is also valid. She'll go outside and just reset. So instead of going outside and leaving, like, all right, I'm done. I'm beaten by this. I can't do it. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
She would retreat from the spot, reset, and then go back in again.
Yeah.
And you know, that's another thing to do. Sometimes that's okay too. The goal is to not have to do that. But as you're working, that's perfectly okay too. If you need to step back and take that breather. And I think what winds up happening when cooler heads prevail, you get out into the parking lot, back to your car. Suddenly, it doesn't seem, have you ever noticed that once you've done that, you have the regret of having left, right?
Yeah,
and then suddenly it's like, what did I run from again? Because now you start to feel better and like, wait a minute, what did I do here? So, you know,
I did it at my son's nativity once. So I was sitting pretty much bang in the middle of the school hall, like in the rows of chairs. And it was about 10 minutes in and I just had to bail out of there because I was getting all the weird feeling where you just, you know that you're sitting still, but you feel like you're, there's motion.
Sure.
And that, it was horrible. So I bailed out of there, went outside, just stood for about 5 minutes, and then I made my way back in and just stood at the back. And like, I watched the rest of the thing.
Yeah.
But that was, it just, that shows a bit of bravery in knowing that you're not giving up. You're not giving up that easily.
Sure. And if you need to step back for a second and reset, that's fine. But I think the key here is understand that the goal is to feel uncomfortable in the beginning. You have to actually intentionally be uncomfortable. So if you're going to get on this exposure therapy or the exposure journey with us and play the game along with us, not that it's a game, but you know what I mean. Expect that there's going to be anxiety. There's going to be elevated anxiety. There might be panic there, you know, but all of those things are normal as you go through this. So if you're going to push yourself into the coffee shop where you have historically panicked before and it's been difficult for you to stay there, fully expect that what you have to do is go into that coffee shop and have a panic attack like that. That's normal. So if I could offer probably one overriding bit of advice is as you're going through these tasks and you're building these behaviors, then you're pushing to that edge where the anxiety starts to come in. Just constantly keep reminding yourself, like feeling this way, the pounding heart and the dizzy and the jelly legs and the fear and that voice inside you that says, get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to feel those things. It's normal. Like those feelings themselves are not danger. That's a normal response to a misperceived danger. There's no danger there, but your brain thinks there is. And so your body is just doing normally what it has evolved to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So that feeling, the feeling jelly legs and dizzy, is as normal a feeling as just as I feel right now standing here. Like right now I'm just standing here talking to you via Skype. I don't just feel normal. However way I feel right now is as normal as when I am having a swing and panic attack.
Yeah.
There's no difference. It's just this is comfortable and that's not. But they're both normal, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, so you know, I think
I suppose also just like for people that if people do find it too hard and you bail out, don't be too hard on yourself.
Right.
Because the fact that you've even tried is a step forward, isn't it? And next time you try, you might get a bit more progress. So don't be too disheartened if you do have to bail out of somewhere. But it's like you said many times, get back on that horse.
Get back on the horse, exactly right. And if you're trying to get to, I'm just going to keep using a coffee shop as an example, whatever it is for you, if you're trying to get to the coffee shop, and just get yourself to the point where you know this is where it starts to get difficult and start working there. That's the object. Yeah, start working there. And just take it in small chunks and tackle those small chunks. And if you just stay at it, I would almost guarantee that if sitting in the coffee shop and finishing your cup of tea, whatever it is, for 15 minutes, whatever your goal is, if you were to do that every day for the next week, even multiple times a day, if you have the luxury of being able to do it in your schedule, I guarantee you it would. I'm not going to say you would be sitting there falling asleep because you're so relaxed, but within a few days, that task will not seem so scary anymore, and you'll be able to do it.
Mm.
So this is how it works.
Well, I mean, it was only like a couple of years ago that I just couldn't go into my local shop.
Sure.
Like I had a panic attack while I was at the till.
Yep.
Freaked out. But I didn't run out of there. I got my change and then I ran out of there. So what? I did what I needed to do, but I bailed. But then for like the next 3-4 months, it wasn't even an option that I was going to attempt to do it again.
Right.
And it literally took me, because the shop was only like a 5-minute walk, but I had to drive to the shop and I stood outside the shop for about 10 minutes with my lad, just waiting. I'm literally as far away from my screen as I was from the shop door.
Yeah.
Just standing there and I was fine, but I knew that if I crossed that line, that was the point of no return.
Yes.
And I literally stood there for like 10 minutes, but then I went and did it and everything was fine. But it's just madness.
I have had madness. That exact experience. Yes, yeah, I have had that exact experience. I've had that experience standing at my front door.
When you think like 1 foot in that direction.
Right.
Crazy.
I remember very clearly, this was one of those unplanned exposures. I could go back to when, you know, things were really bad for me. It was snowing. It was in the winter. Everything, all the bad stuff happened in the winter for me. I swear, you know, I didn't like get to do exposure when it was 80 degrees out and sunny, you know, Fahrenheit.
And it's November now.
I know. Winter's coming. Winter is coming. So, but I remember very clearly it was a similar situation. It was a business related thing in the middle of the day, but and we were having heavy snow. So I didn't, nobody was in my office. Like it was fine. Nobody was going to get to the office because it was snowing very heavily. We don't necessarily have to be there. The business runs remotely, even if we're not sitting in the same place. So that's fine. I'm not going to make people drive in the snow. And something happened and somebody had to go there. And that somebody was going to be me. I wasn't going to, you know, like I just had that thing in me that's like, I'm going to freaking do this. Yeah. And I remember being dressed and standing at my front door with the inside door open. So it's just the glass door.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking out that glass. You know, just on the other side of this thin pane of glass is sheer terror. And my heart pounding and like knowing that I had this gargantuan task in front of me. Get out this door, get in that car, drive, you know, well, it was more than 7 minutes because it was heavy snow. Go there, do what needs to be done, get home. It seemed so insurmountable. I probably spent an hour and a half going back and forth to that door and just looking and looking.
Yeah,
and looking,
the door is the resignation.
It is.
It's like, that's where you know.
Yep, this is it. Yeah. Like, if I go out this door, and you know, logically, you know, I could go out the door and come back in the door, but
yeah.
I don't know, that's not the way it worked at the time. But these sort of feelings, when you stand, like you said, you know, 18 inches from the shop door,
and I
stand with my nose pressed up against the glass in my front door, like for an hour and a half, thinking about walking outside, that is normal. That is a normal part of this process. So if you have to spend the first day or two with your nose pressed against the glass, figuratively speaking, for whatever your task is, okay, that's okay. That's part of it too. So every little advancement toward the goal counts. Everyone counts. So don't, no matter how small the victory is, it's a victory. So think of it that way too.
It is, because like the going for breakfast thing that we've done a couple of times recently, that's, I try and break that down into smaller steps because it's not just going like going to sit and eat.
Right.
Like the journey to get to the place is a part.
Sure.
And then you've got the journey from when you get out of the car to walk in the place, because that can be anxiety inducing, like walking into a building.
Sure.
And then you've got the finding a seat if there's any other people there. Then you've got the sitting and actually eating and trying to be comfortable. And then you've got to walk out of there and then you've got to drive home. So like,
yeah.
It seems like a multitude of tasks just in one thing. But recently it's just been like, I've not really thought about it until after I've done it.
Right.
So that's nice.
But yeah.
I've still been feeling anxiety doing pretty much anything apart from the other day.
And I think, well, when you talk about like the going to breakfast thing and you break it down to all those tasks, getting there, sitting, waiting, ordering, eating, waiting for to pay the bill and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And then getting home. At some point, for me, I know, and everybody's different, but for me, in all of my exposures, whether they were planned or unplanned, there was the going uphill part, the hardest part, and then there was the going downhill part, which was still dicey because you'd still have the residual bad feelings, but it was a whole lot easier driving home than it was driving away from home. A whole lot easier.
When you go to eat, the I would say then the peak is probably in the moment that you've ordered.
Yeah.
When you're waiting for the food to arrive. Because that's all. Like me and my wife, we went out for lunch. It was probably 12 months ago.
Yeah.
But that's how often we go. I can remember the one that we did 12 months ago. But like I was sitting there and we probably sat there for about 20 minutes while I was just umming and ahhing. Shall we actually order?
Yeah.
Because you know at that point when you've ordered.
Point of no return.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the point. And then as soon as it arrives, you can chuck it in your bag and leg it if you need to.
Right, right. Or maybe, and I think you're probably right, in that eating out exposure, that's probably true. That's the point. Yeah. So the downhill comes
once the
food arrives. Exactly. Even if you don't, you know, chuck it in a bag and run.
Yeah.
You know that now you're on the downhill side of this. I'm going to eat. We're going to pay. I'm going to leave. Like, I get it. And some of the, you know, that in, obviously it was undetermined thing goes away. Like I control this now.
You know,
in the worst, and believe me, I have been there. In the worst case, like this is probably about a $40 bill. I can just leave 60 to be safe and run out the door. Like, you know, like if I had to, I could do this. So I get it. I totally get it. So I would think, you know, so hopefully we've given you, if you're listening at this point or watching, some insight as to what it felt like for Billy, what it felt like for me.
Mm.
Just, you know, go back to the last episode. listen to, you know, have ways to find that spark, find your spark, make, put something on your list for this, the next 30 days, get in the group, discuss it with people, get some support, and just start taking tiny steps forward, whatever it happens to be. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're surprised. Not every step is tiny. I think when I watched Callie yesterday, and Callie, I'm sorry I keep talking about you, but when I watched her yesterday, I think she seemed surprised that, like, wow, this isn't, how come this is so easy for me today?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
sometimes you have those days where, like, wow, okay, this is a lot easier than I thought it would be today. But then the next day, it, maybe you feel like crap again. So that's probably another thing we should mention. I mean, I know you've had huge victories. I've seen you do.
If somebody wants to see what it's like, I did three tasks. I did the same task 3 days on the trot.
Right.
So go back and watch those videos. I'll perhaps link those in the description. Like, the first day I went and I just walked the dog around the block. Probably 10-minute walk, 15-minute walk. First day, absolutely fine. Nothing apart from a bit of anticipation at the start.
Yeah.
And then, like, the second day, I was feeling good about it. But when I got halfway, I made a comment on the first day that when I reached the halfway point, I made a comment and said, like, I'm the furthest away from home now. But it didn't spark anything. But on the second day that I did it, when I reached that same point, I started feeling really, really dodgy and had a panic on the way home.
Yeah.
And then it set up the third day, because I'd already said that I was going to do it 3 days on the trot regardless.
Yep.
So the third day, all I could think about was how bad I felt on the second, so it was perfect.
Yeah.
But then I went and did it on the third day, and it was even easier, I think, than the first day.
Yeah.
But it was just crazy, like, you do the first day, and like you just said, Callie felt fantastic. But then on the second day when I did it, it was horrendous. Yeah, the key point was that I went and did it again on the third day.
Yeah.
I probably should have done it the fourth and fifth and sixth, but you know what I'm like.
Well,
I get bored.
I think that's, yeah, well, then you pick something different. Boredom happens sometimes. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, sometimes it makes sense where, well, maybe you got to work on two or three things at the same time because you can get bored working on one. That's normal. We get, human beings do get bored. I think the other thing to keep in mind as you go through this is, it's the LED on my microphone. It's blue light on my hand. Anyway, what winds up happening sometimes, it's never a straight line. So if you look, it's like the stock market. You know, if you look at the big picture of the U.S. stock market over the last 120 years, it's one giant upward, you know, the stock market, it just keeps going up over time. But when you focus in on a day, in a given day, you know, between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., you may have lost $100. You know, but in the big picture, it's an upward trend. And that's the way this works, too. So Monday might be awesome for you. Tuesday might not be so awesome. But just understand that that's supposed to happen also. Like, it's not a steady linear progression. Just because Monday was great doesn't mean Tuesday is going to be even greater than that. Tuesday might be horrible. But on the big picture, you might look and say that the progress I made between Monday and Saturday is up. I'm on an upward trend. Yeah. So that's where you kind of have to be.
I was just like, I'm flashing for some reason.
I see that. I can see that. I don't know, man. Aliens taking over. So, do we have a couple of questions we want to answer? We were talking about before we went on.
Why am I flashing?
I don't know. I can see it, though. It's like, what's going on there? Like, you're in a disco.
I've got my salt lamp on.
Nice. Are you feeling better now? Your pink Himalayan salt lamp?
Yeah, man.
You know what? While you're doing that, I know we were talking about, we did get one question. We both got the question.
Yes, but I was going to read it out.
Go ahead. Did you find it?
Yes, Bob McDougalberry.
Yep.
If you believe you have an issue like heart problems, is it possible to imagine symptoms like chest pain?
And actually, Bob asked a similar question on my channel about chest pain. Evidently, it's his hardest. It's his hardest, you know, thing. His hardest symptom to deal with. So, is it possible to imagine it? I'm not going to say that you're imagining.
Waiting for you to answer.
Sorry. Yeah, I hear that. I'll get it wrong. I'm thinking this is so wrong. You get it wrong.
I don't know if
you imagine that you have that pain. If you feel the pain. I think.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're imagining that you're having pain. What you are imagining is why you're having
a heart problem,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and sooner or later, because I know that Bob had mentioned in the comment on my channel that it's like it's the bane of his existence, this chest pain thing. It's the one thing he can't seem to just get past and accept. And I think just eat. Like, that's going to be the answer to this. Like, we were talking about the article, which is a good thing to talk about, too. Like, sooner or later, there's no trick. Like,
I think that the key is in the question. If you believe you have an issue like heart problems, is it possible to imagine symptoms? So if you believe you have chest pain, is it possible to imagine you have a heart problem? That's right. How we should reframe the question.
The other way, right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's true. You're not imagining the chest pain, you're imagining the underlying problem.
Exactly.
Because you're interpreting that chest pain incorrectly. I spent a tremendous amount of time for probably the better part of a year or two. I remember sitting in my office and having people in the office with me, like actually asking me several times, like, is everything okay? Because I wasn't even aware that I was doing it. I was constantly like poking and prodding here.
Right.
Because of the pain and the tightness. And in the end, there's, you know, I'm told, thank God I've never had a heart attack, and maybe somebody who's listening has, which would be great. But, you know, I am told over and over that that is pain that you cannot miss. When, you know,
the pain from
a heart attack is a different animal altogether. So, but I would spend all my time poking, prodding, massaging, and, you know, just constantly playing. Because I was focused on it all the time. And honestly, what it really came down to is the pain for me was just muscular. Because I was constantly, my shoulders were hunched. I was constantly in a state of tension. So after a while, yes, even the insertion point here where the pectorals insert at the sternum was just sore all the time because I was constantly flexed, you know. So that was a thing. And that could be where that pain comes from. But after a while, I used to worry that there was something wrong. But then after a while, it's like, well, I'm still walking around here. Like nobody walks around every day for 6 months with chest pain because they're having a heart attack. So,
yeah, it's never been a major issue for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I could probably relate to Bob maybe more than you could on that. I get where he was coming from. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you used to talk about it. My thing is always passing out. Collapsing.
Yeah.
It's never happened. Touch wood.
Right. It's never happened. So, you know, Bob, you haven't had a heart attack, you know, so at some point, even just math has to become your friend. Like, I've felt this 700 times. It's never a heart attack.
I thought you said meth then.
Meth.
You'd be like, what?
I wouldn't recommend that meth become your friend. Math. M-A-T-H. Yeah.
Here's me getting off the caffeine. Here's Drew getting off
the
meth.
On the meth.
No wonder he's doing all right.
I'm sleeping so much better now that I'm on meth. I don't feel as bloated. good methamphetamine jokes in the podcast. We're doing good. I don't know, Bob. I don't know if we've given you a super answer to the question. You're not imagining.
I'll give you an answer, and it was from Donna in the Facebook group. I don't know if this was posted on the same comment, but it was a response to something. And she said, health anxiety is evil, but her coach says treat it as anxiety until you know different, and different will eventually present itself.
That's true. That's spot a good on. Point. And, you know, we talked last week about,
thank
like,
you.
Yeah, what's Donna. The point? Donna, that's a really good comment, and it's good advice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So treat it as anxiety. And if it isn't, then you'll deal with it when it turns out to not be. This is exactly how we started last week's episode. Like, if you are afraid that you are having a heart attack, well, what good is sitting on your sofa? That's not stopping you from having that heart attack, is it?
Yeah.
You know, if you believe you have cancer, sitting on the sofa is not curing that cancer. So just act as
get busy living.
Get busy living until your body actually tells you otherwise. And trust that, you know, if it's felt like this every freaking day for the last year, odds are there really is nothing wrong with you. So there you go. So you're not imagining the symptom, but you're interpreting it and imagining underlying causes that seem to not be there.
Yes.
I would say that's the answer. I know I had in the group my friend Cody, who Cody's a good dude. Where's Cody's thing? Here we go. Cody is talking about I've been panic attack free for 3 days now. That's good, Cody. It's not the goal. Remember, that's not the goal. But anyway. But I'll be honest, panic attacks don't bother me. They are over fairly quick. I know how to calm myself down. Very good. The problem is I have the constant lightweight anxiety symptoms that are always around. So that generalized background anxiety, right? I always feel lightheaded, and I have the butterfly feeling in my upper abdomen. I can absolutely relate to that. Those were the last symptoms to go away for me.
I've got to just make a point.
Go ahead.
That it's not constant.
Ah, very good. It's probably not constant. Actually, he says, if I can read along.
I'm sorry.
No, at some point he says, I think it was in the comments somewhere. along with some weird feeling sinus stuff and vision problems that seem to get worse if I move around too much. I can completely relate to all of those feelings because I dealt with them quite often. And I believe that at some point Cody says, he even mentions like, let's see here. I normally feel better when I get home and relax, indicator that it's not constant. He also made a point at which point something about, Cody. Yeah. He says the one thing that validates that this is that the fact that it's just anxiety is that, if he has a couple of beers, he feels normal.
Okay.
You know, and he's smart. He's trying not to make that a habit. He's not self-medicating with alcohol, which is a thing. Yeah. It could be a thing. But
choose meth.
I'm endorsing methamphetamine somehow. I'm the Heisenberg of anxiety.
That tickled me.
A big Breaking Bad fan here. So I think it's not constant. You probably just answered that question, Bill. What Billy just said, it's not constant.
I made a video, and I think the question I was asking, am I the only person that feels like this 24/7? Yeah. I mentioned it before, but then when I watched it like a couple of days later and I felt better, I answered my own question.
Yeah.
It never lasts. Like, it might feel like it when you're in the moment, but it does. It passes. It always passes.
Right. And there are probably moments throughout the day when you suddenly don't notice. And it's when you get out of your own head. So for Cody, maybe he has a beer or two. And of course, the alcohol is a CNS depressant. It's sort of like taking a benzo in a way. It'll tranquilize you to a certain extent. And the symptoms go away because his body is physically kind of dampened a little bit. It makes sense. But there are also times for me, I know, when I would suddenly realize like, oh, wait, I just got involved with this task. Maybe I was writing code or I was whatever, listening to music or something. I would get out of my head for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and suddenly realize like, holy cow, I don't feel dizzy. Or I just went through 10 minutes without noticing that I was dizzy. So maybe the way to deal with that is to really notice that thing. So Cody, answer your question.
I had a weird one the other night. It was like a couple of nights ago and I felt dizzy.
Yeah.
But it didn't actually register in my head until I'd sat back down and thought about it. And like usually when that happens, I think I was just walking from like the kitchen to the lounge to go and sit down.
Right.
And I just had one of those split second, I don't know, disorientated feelings.
Yeah.
And usually that would trigger something. Then I'd start questioning and the snowball.
Yep.
But it didn't until I sat down and then thought to myself, holy crap, I just had one of those feelings, but I didn't actually respond to it.
Right.
And I'm still not now. I'm just actually recognizing that it's just happened.
Sure.
So weird. I don't know what the fuck's going on with me. It's positive though.
That's very positive. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. That's really good. So I think if you're struggling with that, and I think, we keep talking about the Facebook group, but Christine Young, who's now in the group.
Yes.
Christine, if you're watching this, love your videos. Christine talks a lot about generalized anxiety disorder, which is that constant background anxiety that you can't seem to shake, that's kind of her issue. And her approach is exactly what it should be. She's just getting out there and, you know, well, I feel this way, but I'm going to do these things anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So the best advice when you have like, okay, you might not be afraid of panic, but you still have those nagging symptoms that stay with you. You have to treat it the same way that you did the panic and just don't sit on the sofa because you're dizzy. Get out and do what you want to do anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, believe me, even these days it can happen. I could think of a time, maybe an example. It's probably 6 or 8 months ago. I was working like a thermostat, like just around the house. And I was having the worst day of just like dizziness and disorientation, that lightheaded, depersonalized feeling. And I remember thinking like, all I want to do is just lay on the sofa right now. I don't want to replace the stupid thermostat or whatever the hell I was working on. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And I just had to go a little slower than I normally would have. Maybe I had to read the directions instead of not reading directions, because I never read the directions. But so I had to go a little bit slower and be a little bit more deliberate in my actions. But I'm not going to say that the dizziness went away because I was changing the thermostat. But it didn't. I changed the thermostat. I put the tools away. I did what I had to do. I answered some emails. I just kept going. And it didn't turn into, because if I paid a lot of mind and I start, all right, I'm not feeling well today, I better just lay in bed or just stay at home. That's when I can start to go on the downslide. So, you know, whatever that symptom is, just keep going. It doesn't, just ignore it the best you can. And it's at least this one person, for Cody, it sounds like you might be able to do that. You're a little further ahead of the game. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I just realized I've got to take my dad to hospital on Friday, so that's my task.
All right. Well, that's something. That's something.
But I can already do that.
You've been doing
that. Which is weird. It's weird. Like, that's 25 mile away.
Yeah.
Motorways and dual carriageways and big roads and city center. How odd. And, like, I'm going to a hospital that's jam-packed with people and cars. Although I probably won't get out of the car. Maybe I will. I don't know.
So that's...
Like, why can I do that? It's odd.
Because you
take me out of that car seat and stick me on a bench 50 yards away.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different ball game. Well, maybe that's what I'll do.
There's a lot of insight there. So you got to take your dad to the hospital on Friday. You don't have a problem driving him there, and you're okay as long as you're sitting in the car. Like, what makes the car any safer than the bench? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing. So maybe that's the task.
Maybe I'll be sitting on a bench.
Get out, sit on a bench. Right, exactly.
Hell yeah.
Wait for him to come out. Or give yourself a time frame. You can sit on the bench for 10 minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good task. And then you'll be helping your dad at the same time, so it's not to love.
We'll give it a go.
All right. Well, instead of doing the hour marathon for 50 minutes, that's probably... We should probably That's all.
No, I've got a point to make, haven't I, about Louis Theroux.
Yes, that was good.
Documentary that I watched the other day, and it was all about anorexia.
Okay.
And I was sitting there watching it with my wife and my daughter. And my missus has issues with food and that. So she was interested. My daughter was just interested. My daughter's scared of thin people, which is really odd. I don't know.
We all have our things. It's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. But I was watching it and I was just sitting there thinking, like, the simplest solution to anorexia is just eat. And that's what probably, well, so many of the people that would have been watching that were just like, just freaking have a sandwich or something cured. And then I was thinking, like, stick that in my mind, agoraphobia, just go outside, social anxiety, just go and sit in a crowded room. And people just don't understand that as easy as it is. And like, I was sitting there thinking to myself, just eat. That would obviously help with your anorexia. But when you're not in that position and when you don't understand what it feels like,
yes,
the simplest answer is the hardest freaking answer. And it was just so weird that I was able to sit there and sort of relate that back to my own experience. But anorexia, the simple answer is just eat.
Just eat.
But that's the hardest freaking thing that somebody with anorexia can do. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a problem, would it?
Right.
I think that's what a lot of people actually think when it comes to mental health is like, just eat. Just go outside. Just freaking
do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Stop looking at yourself in the mirror. Stop being so down, you know? The simplest answer, but it's just never the answer.
No, it's not. But I think it really points out that thing that we even said early on, and I've said before, like, it's the fear is real. So, like, for somebody who has, you know, that issue with food and they don't want to eat, even though they're obviously too thin, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real issue. They don't see themselves. When they look, that person looks in the mirror, he or she does not see themselves as too thin. Mm. They see something different. So it's real to them. Just the same way as for the agoraphobic, you know, walking out that door, that the fear is every bit as real as somebody having a gun pointed directly at your nose. It's the same. The fear is exactly as
it's
real.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how it translates across so many different disorders. And,
yeah. Yeah.
But people that haven't experienced it have no idea what it's like. So it must be so difficult, like, for them to understand.
Yeah.
Like, for our partners, wives, friends and that. When I sat and watched that, and I'm myself, and I suffer with mental health, and I'm sitting there thinking, just eat.
Yeah.
Then what must people that don't suffer with mental health issues think about the way that we're feeling?
And that's why, I mean, we've talked about this, and I'm sure we will again. Sometimes it bothers me when I hear that whole awareness thing. Like, we need awareness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, well, why? I mean, it's not, I mean, you know what, when the people who are important in your life, it would be good for them to at least have some understanding. So what I would, you know, and I say this all the time, like, you know, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever, they should try to understand that the fear that you're feeling is every bit as real as fear that they would fear jumping off a building, you know. They just don't understand why you feel the fear. But if they can understand that the fear is real, they may have a better understanding of your behavior. But we should be really careful about wanting to be accommodated. So awareness and understanding is great to want that, but only insofar as it makes the people in our lives understand what we're going through and prop us up as opposed to accommodate us. Like, it's okay. I won't
make awareness.
You go.
Awareness is pointless, in my opinion.
I tend to agree. That's like right. Awareness isn't, because awareness by itself is just saying, please accommodate me. And in our situation, the things that we talk about, I do not believe that they need to be accommodated. I just don't. And if that puts you at odds with me in this situation, then you're probably not the audience for me, at least. I won't speak for Billy, but you know, if you truly feel that this is your lot in life and it's never going to change, and you want the world to accommodate the fact that you are afraid to go to the supermarket, well,
they wouldn't be watching.
Right. I don't know what to say about that.
I think, I don't know whether I said it or whether I wrote it in a blog or I planned it for a video, but like the awareness thing, like raising awareness about broken legs. Right. Like nobody would ever do that. No. They don't want to know what type of fracture it is. No. So what's the point?
Right. What's the point? It doesn't matter. And I think, again, awareness, if you're just asking for awareness, you're asking for accommodation to a certain extent. But, and if we're asking for awareness of something that can't be cured, it's a true disease of some kind, which is another thing I'm tired of hearing about how this is a disease. It's a cognitive malfunction. It is a disorder. I will give it that label, but I'm not calling it a disease. I'm not calling it, this is not a disease. It's not an affliction. It's a learning malfunction. It's a cognitive disorder. There may be some chemical aspect to it, but anyway, awareness is fine when you have something that's physiologically wrong with you that cannot be cured with known medical technology, and you do need some special accommodation. Then I'm all for awareness. Yeah. I'm all for that. But I'm not for awareness when it comes to anxiety and agoraphobia and that sort of stuff. I'm just not. I don't think it helps us. It hurts us.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Understand what I'm going through and cheer me on. Do that for me, please.
Although I do ask to raise awareness on Twitter, but that's just to get more followers.
You're honest to a fault, Mr. Cross.
Just eat,
damn it. All right. 56 minutes. Let's wrap it up.
Let's do it.
All right. I don't know what we're going to talk about next episode, because we never do. We kind of wait.
Well, hopefully I will have a report back on my trip to the hospital.
Yes.
So that'll give something to go on. And hopefully other people have
shared
their task, and maybe whether they've taken any steps towards getting there or not. You know, it'll be the 7th when this goes on. So the next video will be the 14th.
Yeah.
So hopefully by then.
Yeah. We'll see.
We should all be making progress. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. I'll throw one more. I'm going to throw two more things out there. Callie specifically, I know Callie, I've said Callie 100 times, but she cannot wait for the episode of antidepressants. And I keep getting that question. We're going to do that at some point. We might
I had a comment on mine saying that they've never heard me mention medications.
Yeah. I've been steering clear from it because of my bias, but it's our podcast. So I guess our bias is, go.
We're gonna do it. I think I'll be quiet
we'll do
for
it.
That one.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll have to do it. Either we'll do one together, or maybe I'll just do a couple on my own. But we'll
take
figure
a sleeping pill before. Right?
We will talk about that at some point. It is part of this discussion, so I'm not ignoring it. And the last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to direct this at one person. I'm not going to say her name. A specific young lady in the UK who used to live with her son, who I think is now off to college, who was with us back in the old days with short black hair. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
If you're watching, get out and do something, because I know that you think you can't, but I am always going to think that you can. So I'm not going to mention the name, but please, if you're watching, do something, and we're going to cheer you on.
I know 100%.
Right?
I've tried to reach out before.
I know. I'm still going to root that person on no matter what. So
100%.
If you're watching, you have a cheerleading section waiting for you.
We're here.
There you go.
I'll bring the pom poms.
That's not a good look for you. I'm just saying.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
You're right. I haven't seen it. I haven't had the pleasure of seeing that.
Follow me on Instagram.
Oh, I have to wash my eyes. All right, jeez. Dudes. Thanks for coming by. Right. I guess we're going to see you next week. Get out there and do something productive and share it with us.
We'll see you there.
See you next time.